work and renunciation. Sri Ramana Maharishi is the embodiment of perfect silence, peace and stillness. Yet in his daily life, he was actively engaged in the day-to-day activities of the ashram, such as cutting vegetables, attending to correspondence, cooking in the kitchen, supervising building activities such as the construction of the mother's temple, etc. His life was an example of one who, though established in the ultimate reality, continued to be active in ordinary affairs in a selfless manner. Many devotees who came to him with a desire to renounce the world and leave all activities behind were counseled by Sri Bhagavan that a change of environment was not necessary, that the spiritual practice required could be done effectively in our current environment. The following conversations are from Maharishi's Gospel, first published in 1939, and contains divine insights pertinent to all who wish to clarify the relationship between work and renunciation. Disciple, what is the highest goal of spiritual experience for man? Maharishi, self-realization. Disciple, can a married man realize the self? Maharishi, certainly, married or unmarried, a man can realize the self because that is here and now. If it were not so, but attainable by some effort at some time, and if it were new and had to be acquired, it would not be worth pursuit because what is not natural is not permanent either. But what I say is that the self, is here and now and alone. Disciple, a soft doll diving into the sea will not be protected by a waterproof coat. This world in which we have to toil day in and day out is like the ocean. Maharishi, yes, the mind is the waterproof coat. Disciple, so then one may be engaged in work and free from desire, keep up one's solitude, but life's duties allow little time to sit in meditation or even to pray. Maharishi, yes, work performed with attachment is a shackle, whereas work performed with detachment does not affect the doer. He is, even while working in solitude, to engage in your duty is the true namaskar, and abiding in God is the only true asana. Disciple, should I not renounce my home, Maharishi? If that had been your destiny, the question would not have arisen. Disciple, why then did you leave your home in your birth? Maharishi, nothing happens except by divine dispensation. One's course of conduct in this life is determined by one's prarabdha. Disciple, is it good to devote all my time to the search for the self? If that is impossible, should I merely keep quiet? Maharishi, if you can keep quiet without engaging in any other pursuit, it is very good. If that cannot be done, what is the use of being quiet so far as realization is concerned? So long as a person is obliged to be active, let him not give up attempts to realize the self. Disciple, do not one's actions affect one in subsequent births? Maharishi, are you born now? Why do you think of other births? The fact is, there is neither birth nor death. Let him who is born think of death and the palliative thereof. Disciple, can you show us the dead? Maharishi, did you know your kinsmen before their birth, that you should seek to know them after their death? Disciple, how does a grihastha householder fare in the scheme of moksha? Should he not necessarily become a mendicant in order to attain liberation? Maharishi, why do you think you are a grihastha? Similar thoughts that you are a sannyasin will haunt you, even if you go out as a sannyasin, whether you continue in the household or renounce it and go to the forest, your mind haunts you. The ego is the source of thought. It creates the body and the world, and it makes you think of being the grihastha. If you renounce, it will only substitute the thought of sannyasa for that of grihastha, and the environment of the forest for that of the household. But the mental obstacles are always there for you. They even increase greatly in the new surroundings. It is no help to change the environment. The one obstacle is the mind. It must be got over, whether in the home or in the forest. If you can do it in the forest, why not in the home? Therefore, why change the environment? Your efforts can be made even now, whatever be the environment. Disciple, is it possible to enjoy samadhi while busy in worldly work? Maharishi, the feeling I work is the hindrance. Ask yourself, who works? Remember who you are. Then the work will not bind you. It will go on automatically. Make no effort either to work or to renounce. Your effort is the bondage. What is destined to happen will happen. If you are destined not to work, work cannot be had, even if you hunt for it. If you are destined to work, you will not be able to avoid it. You will be forced to engage yourself in it. So, leave it to the higher power. You cannot renounce or retain as you choose. Disciple, Bhagavan said yesterday that while one is engaged in search of God within, outer work would go on automatically. In the life of Sri Chaitanya, it is said that during his lectures to students, he was really seeking Krishna, self within, forgot all about his body, and went on talking of Krishna only. This raises a doubt whether work can safely be left to itself. Should one keep part attention on the physical work? Maharishi, the self is all. Are you apart from the self, or can the work go on without the self? The self is universal, so all actions will go on, whether you strain yourself to be engaged in them or not. The work will go on of itself. Thus, Krishna told Arjuna that he need not trouble himself to kill the Kauravas. They were already slain by God. It was not for him to resolve to work and worry himself about it, but to allow his own nature to carry out the will of the higher power. Disciple, but work may suffer if I do not attend to it. Maharishi, attending to the self means attending to the work. Because you identify yourself with the body, you think that work is done by you. But the body and its activities, including that work, are not apart from the self. What does it matter whether you attend to the work or not? Supposing you walk from one place to another, you do not attend to the steps you take. Yet you find yourself after a time at your goal. You see how the business of walking goes on without your attending to it. So also with other kinds of work. disciple, it is then like sleepwalking. Maharishi, like somnambulism, quite so. When a child is fast asleep, his mother feeds him. The child eats the food just as well as when he is fully awake. But the next morning, he says to the mother, "Mother, I did not take food last night." The mother and others know that he did, but he says that he did not. He was not aware. Still, the action had gone on. A traveler in a cart has fallen asleep. The bulls move, stand still, or unyoke during the journey. He does not know these events but finds himself in a different place after he wakes up. He has been blissfully ignorant of the occurrences on the way, but the journey has been finished. Similarly, with the self of a person, the ever-wakeful self is compared to the traveler asleep in the cart. The waking state is the moving of the bulls. Samadhi is the standing still, because samadhi means jagrat sushupti. That is to say, the person is aware but not concerned in the action. The bulls are yoked but do not move. Sleep is the unyoking of the bulls, for there is complete stopping of activity corresponding to the relief of the bulls from the yoke. Or again, take the instance of the cinema. Scenes are projected on the screen in the cinema show, but the moving pictures do not affect or alter the screen. The spectator pays attention to them, not to the screen. They cannot exist apart from the screen, yet the screen is ignored. So also the self is the screen where the pictures, activities, etc. are seen going on. The man is aware of the latter but not aware of the essential former. All the same, the world of pictures is not apart from the self. Whether he is aware of the screen or unaware, the actions will continue. Disciple, but there is an operator in the cinema. Maharishi, the cinema show is made out of insentient materials. The lamp, the pictures, the screen, etc. are all insentient, and so they need an operator, the sentient agent. On the other hand, the self is absolute consciousness and therefore self-contained. There cannot be an operator apart from the self. Disciple, I am not confusing the body with the operator. Rather, I am referring to Krishna's words in the 61st verse, chapter 18 of the Gita. Ishvaraha sarvabhutanam hriddeso arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rutani mayaya. The Lord, O Arjuna, dwells in the heart of every being, and he, by his delusive power, spins around all beings, set as if on a machine. Maharishi, the functions of the body involving the need for an operator or bone in mind. Since the body is dada or insentient, a sentient operator is necessary. Because people think that they are jivas, Krishna said that God resides in the heart as the operator of the jivas. In fact, there are no jivas and no operator, as it were, outside them. The self comprises all. It is the screen, the pictures, the seer, the actors, the operator, the light, the theater, and all else. You are confronting the self with the body and imagining yourself the actor. He is like the seer representing himself an actor in the cinema show. Imagine the actor asking if he can enact a scene without the screen. Such is the case of the man who thinks of his actions apart from the self. Disciple, On the other hand, it is like asking the spectator to act in the cinema picture. So we must learn sleep waking. Maharishi, actions and states are, according to one's point of view, a crow, an elephant, a snake, each makes use of one limb for two alternate purposes. With one eye, the crow looks on either side. For the elephant, the trunk serves the purpose of both a hand and a nose. And the serpent sees as well as hears with its eyes. Whether you say the crow has an eye or eyes, or refer to the trunk of the elephant as hand or nose, or call the eyes of the serpent its ears, it means all the same. Similarly, in the case of the jnani, sleep waking or waking sleep, or dream sleep or dreaming wakefulness are all much the same disciple, but we have to deal with the physical body in a physical waking world. If we sleep while work is going on or try to work while asleep, the work will go wrong. Maharishi, sleep is not ignorance. It is one's pure state. Wakefulness is not knowledge. It is ignorance. There is full awareness in sleep and total ignorance in waking. Your real nature covers both and extends beyond. The self is beyond both knowledge and ignorance. Sleep, dream, and waking states are only modes passing before the self. They proceed whether you are aware of them or not. That is the state of the jnani, in whom pass the states of samadhi, waking, dream, and deep sleep, like the bulls moving, standing, or being unyoked, while the passenger is asleep. These answers are from the point of view of the ajnani. Otherwise, such questions would not arise. Disciple, of course, they cannot arise for the self. Who would be there to ask? But unfortunately, I have not yet realized the self. Maharishi, that is just the obstacle in your way. You must get rid of the idea that you are an ajnani and have yet to realize the self. You are the self. Was there ever a time when you were not aware of that self? Disciple, so we must experiment in sleep waking or in daydreaming. Maharishi laughs.